Go with me, if you would, back to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Isn't that good news? Down in verse 15, he said, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net." All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Ever toward the Lord. I had a conversation with a brother who lives in a different state, and he told me that something happened to him that hurt his pride. He said it knocked him down a couple of notches. And he said when it happened, he immediately said inside himself, "Thank you, Lord. I needed that. Thank you. I needed that." That made me think about something. Everything that God's people go through in this life, they go through it because they needed to go through it. That's really something to consider. Every single thing that God's people go through in this life, they go through it because they needed to go through it. Our Lord is sovereign over all things. All things. Our Lord is sovereign over all things. We say that. We believe that, but it is so in a way that is so much greater than we can say and believe. Our God is sovereign over all things, and He is sovereign over every providence in our life. The path of every step that we take, the steps of a good man are ordered. The things that happen to us, the things that happen in us, the things that happen around us, He's sovereign over all of our circumstances. We only live out the things that were predetermined to be done concerning us. That's all we're doing. That's what Peter told the very ones who hung the Lord on the cross. He said, "You only did what was predetermined for you to do." That's all that you did. Everything about the lives of those men, where they were born, when they were born, what brought them to that place in that moment and made them feel that that's what they needed to do, every bit of that was predetermined by God Almighty. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Think about that. The king's heart, Proverbs 21, the mind, the thoughts, the will, the desire. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. God gets the sovereign, all-powerful, all-controlling, reigning, ruling credit for all things. All things. All things. I got to thinking about the fact that our God is sovereign over all things. And everything that he does, he has a purpose in doing it. Our God is sovereign over all things. And everything that he does, he has a purpose in doing it. Our God doesn't do anything unnecessarily. If it happened, it was necessary to happen. If he went through Samaria, he must needs go through Samaria. If something happens, God allowed it to happen. And God doesn't allow anything to happen unnecessarily. Everything he does is on purpose, for a purpose. Everything he does. And it is an absolute fact that we do not understand his purpose in everything that he does. That is an absolute fact. Rarely do we understand any of his providences concerning us. Rarely. Rarely. Our dear sister Irene is going through such a difficult moment right now. Such a difficult moment. Our brother D, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I've never been in that position before. And I cannot imagine. We don't understand these things. We don't understand these things. But here's our comfort in it. Verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord. If it leads us to Christ, and if it leads us to salvation in Christ, it's mercy and truth. If the end of it is Christ, it's mercy and truth. Well, that you say, well, that took a life. Mercy and truth. Forever with the Lord, mercy and truth. It's mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. Who keeps the covenant and the testimonies? Here it is. Every soul that God the Father placed in the covenant and the testimonies. Every soul that the Son kept the covenant and the testimonies for. Every soul that God did that for, accomplished that for, gave the accomplishment to them for it. Every soul who has been given a heart by God's grace to know and believe and bow to his perfect finished work in all things. Nothing is more encouraging than listening to the conversation of a believer while they're going through trials. Nothing is more encouraging. Those who have been given a heart to trust his perfect finished work in everything. Those who have been caused to cast their all on his perfect finished work in all things. It's all who have been caused to say in verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Ever toward the Lord. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. I turn to you. I trust you. Trust you. In Psalm 46, our Lord said, be still and know that I am God. That is the greatest thing a believer could do. Be still and know that I am God. In Isaiah 45, he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. Look unto me. Just look unto me. God's people cry, Lord, that's all we can do. That is all we can do. Our eyes are ever toward you. We just cannot stop looking to you. That's all we can do. Our trust is in you. It's in your good providence and your purpose in this. That's all we can do. I don't understand, but I trust. I trust. Look at verse 1, Psalm 25, verse 1. It says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. All of my sin and my doubt and my fear and my infirmities, let not all of these things that are going against me triumph over me. Verse 3, he said, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. That means without an offering. That's what it translates to. An offering of appeasement. Those who try to come to God outside of the blood. Lord, we're coming in the blood. We're coming in the blood. Never be ashamed when you come in the blood. Never. Verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Teach me to follow you in your way. Teach me to bow to your way and your path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 6 says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. O Lord, you get to the end of a life, and that right there is all that matters. All of us are headed there. All of us are headed there. And that thief on the cross, that was that man's last moments. And this is what he said, Lord, would you remember me? Would you remember me? Lord, would you remember your tender mercy and your loving kindness? Would you please remember not my sin? Would you please blot out my sin, blot out my transgressions, blot it out in your own blood, the blood of the Lamb of God. Would you please remember not my sin, and according to your mercy, for your goodness sake, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? The Lord said, I most certainly will. He said, you're going to live with me in the paradise of never ending today. It's always going to be today. It's always going to be right now. Verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way of Christ, the way of salvation. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. If we could ever learn that, David keeps saying, Lord, teach me. Would you teach me? Would you show me your judgments and teach me these things? If we could ever just learn that and remember that. Now, believe me when I tell you, I know how difficult the paths can be that we have to take in this life. I know how difficult. The sorrow can be indescribable. Sincerely indescribable. The pain, the fear, even though we know that God is sovereign in all of these things, sometimes we still wonder, why do we have to go through all of this? Have you ever wondered that honestly? Why do we have to go through all these things? Why? We know that God is sovereign in all this. We know that He's reigning and ruling over this. But why do we have to go through all of this? Let's ask a more important question than that, okay? Turn with me over to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 5, it says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Christ did not glorify himself to that position. God the Father glorified him to be the blood offerer for sin. Now, verse 7 says, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. You think about that. There's a difference in crying and strong crying. And if God says that it was strong crying, it was strong crying. When he says many, he means a number nobody can count. And when he says it's strong crying, it was deep, deep sorrow and crying and tears. He said in verse 7, Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We wonder, why do we have to suffer the things that we suffer? Why do we have to suffer the things we suffer? A greater question than that is, why did Christ have to suffer the things that he suffered? Verse 9 says, It's because being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He had to learn obedience for them. And he had to suffer for them in order to become the author of their eternal salvation. That had to happen. It was necessary that he endure that. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 18. It says, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? Why did he do that? It says, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Why did he have to endure that? That he might bring us to God. God required that suffering for the purpose of providing salvation to his people, bringing his people back to him. And even though God's ways and his reasons are so much higher than we can comprehend, his ways are so much higher than we can comprehend, what he's doing is so much greater and so much more intricate than we can comprehend. And even though knowing this is not going to diminish the sorrow or the pain or the heartbreak or the suffering, even so, I want to show you this, okay? In the same way that there was a purpose in Christ's suffering, there is a purpose in our suffering. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. In the same way that there was a purpose in his suffering, there's a purpose in ours. Romans 5, verse 1, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What that said is, being justified. Past tense, we are. Okay? By faith, by looking to Jesus Christ. We have peace with God right now. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We're standing in it right now. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're doing that right now. Verse 3 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." It is our sufferings really that teach us and draw us to our Lord. It really is. These horrible sufferings cause us to realize that, number one, we really are full of sin. Do you want to be convinced that sin is in us? Just look at what we go through. Think about this. Would we be convinced of our absolute total depravity, sin, if we did not have to endure any of these sufferings and we did not go through any of these horrible things that we go through? These things prove to us we are eaten up with sin. We're just eaten up. We are sinners. We're dying. We're dying. Every day that goes by, we're dying. In the flesh, we're dying. Just totally eaten up with sin. And in our sufferings, we also realize that Christ really is all of our hope. Have you ever known a doctor to heal anybody to the point that they never died again? Have you ever? You can go back, you can find a really good doctor and keep going to him and keep going to him. And now you can replace a bunch of parts. You can get new knees and new hips and new all these things. But we're going to die. There really is nobody else to go to. The purpose in all of this is, number one, we are convinced we are sinners before God. And Christ really is the only hope that we have. It's all of these terrible sufferings that wean us away from this world. They make us, the longer we're in them, the more we don't want to be here. When we're young, all we want is to be here. And it's tough to be weaned away from this world. Even when we get older, it's still tough. But these are the things that do cause us to more and more start becoming weaned away from this world. And our affections truly do start turning to Christ. At first, it's a theory or it's an understanding. But after a while, it becomes life. It becomes need. It becomes desire. And it's our sufferings that do that to us. Cause us to look for Him and wait for Him and patiently say, come. Patiently say, come quickly. I really want you to come. It's these sufferings that will, in the end, be the means of carrying us to Him. Does that register? These sufferings are drawing us to Him, giving us a heart for Him. But these are the means that carry us to Him. For a child of God, it will be said that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. They're all paths of goodness. Psalm 23 calls them paths of righteousness. All of them. All of them. And it's because they all lead us to Christ. If it leads us to Christ and leads us to salvation in Christ, it's mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. I cannot imagine the suffering that some of our dear brethren have endured throughout time. You hear these stories of what believers before us endured, and I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine the suffering that some of our brethren are going through right now. I just cannot imagine. But may God comfort us with these words. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose in whatever He's doing. Our light affliction, and I've said it many times recently, it's only light when we're not the one going through it. But compared to glory, it is so light. It is so light. Compared to the suffering that those are going to have to endure outside of Christ, it's so light. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. It's doing something. It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As heavy as they may feel right now, just keep comparing them to glory. Just keep looking to glory. May God allow our eyes to be turned to His eternal glory and just stay right there. Stay right there through it. Very quickly, go back to Psalm 25. I just want to read the rest of this psalm and I'll close. Psalm 25, verse 10, it says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." He'll show them His covenant. "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn Thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring Thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." He will. He will. He has. He will. He said in 1 Peter 5, "After you suffer a while, I'll perfect you, I'll strengthen you, I'll establish you, I'll settle you." When that time comes, we're going to see that everything He purposed concerning us, all of it was mercy and truth. He did well in all of it. That's what we'll say. He's done all things well. I pray God will comfort us with that. I pray God will comfort our loved ones who are going through great trials. Pray He'll teach us something. All right, let's all stand together.